Happy day. We're coming to you from Julian, where it's a little misty and rainy outside, so the spring showers are making their way to Julian. We are very happy today to have Farmer Josh, who is the farm manager at the Julian Farm and Orchard. Many people know Julian Farm and Orchard, but it's under new ownership now, so there are new things, there are exciting things, and so Josh is here to talk about that. Welcome, Josh.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, glad to have you. So daffodils have been a long time loved plant or flower in Julian. Whether or not they're native is unimportant. They've really become something that people look forward to. As I work here in the town hall, I get a lot of phone calls, are the daffodils out? Constantly. Now it's moving a little bit to lilacs because, you know, we're at the end of March. But people love Julian for the daffodils. And so you guys had really an insightful idea. Why don't you tell us about what you're doing?
Well, we're the first people in Julian, and maybe the first in Southern California, mm-hmm. to plant a field for you, specifically for you pick daffodils. Mm-hmm. We put in 50,000 bulbs this year, and we encourage people to come out and pick the daffodils with us. So it was very interesting and kind of a different idea, like you said, to get that started and to encourage people to come out and pick rather mm-hmm. than just view the daffodils.
Yeah.
So it was really exciting, and we've had a really good response to it.
Yeah, I think it's super exciting, and the pictures are amazing of the fields. And for those listening, and in case you don't know Josh, that we have show notes, and there'll be photographs within the show notes. There's a slideshow that people can watch while we're talking, so they can see how pretty it is. One of the things I'll mention, because you mentioned picking, is it was so nice that you were building this great thing for people to do, because then people don't pull their car over and pick the daffodils off the side of the road. That's Robin being like, oh, whenever I see people picking it makes me so mad.
Now, that's what we told. I mean, the town just enjoys those so much and mm-hmm. has gone through so much effort over decades now mm-hmm. to put those in. The school kids do it, and yeah. they don't do it for people to take home.
Right.
Even though people try, I mean, Everyone, even I would want to take some home. They're
yeah.
just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was nowhere to go get them, mm-hmm. Especially at last minute or without a reservation. Or,
right.
There was nowhere to get them unless you had a friend that had them in their yard and the daffodil show was over. Yeah. There wasn't a place to enjoy them and to take them home to your family or
right.
anything. And so we really wanted to share that. And that's kind of what we like to do at the farm, mm-hmm. is to share what we're doing with people, to share the agricultural experience mm-hmm. and to welcome people on site and really allow them to get closer to their food or closer to their agriculture mm-hmm. and then take something home if possible.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. I remember as a kid, and I don't know why I remember it, but our whole family, cousins, my aunts and uncles, we all went cherry picking. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you have this bucket of cherries and they weighed it. And I had to be really little, but that image, I am 54 years old and I remember a U-pick. And they're vague memories, but I do remember them. So I think that's one of the things I always talk about, Julian, is creating memories when you're here. And how awesome to be sitting with a mom, crouch down with a child and they pick the flowers together.
It's just magical. And
yeah.
it's even when people pick apples, very few places would really teach them about what makes an apple ripe or mm-hmm. when to pick an apple and mm-hmm. what varieties and things. I came to Julian for 5 years or so or 10 years before I even moved here mm-hmm. and it's a newer thing to share the experience and
right.
share the information with people mm-hmm. rather than expect them to show up with it. And that's what we really try to focus on
yeah.
is the sharing of the situation. And that's we have our narrated hayride. It's trying to introduce you to the farm and just begin that that relationship that mm-hmm. we hope lasts for years.
Yeah.
Like we have several seasons and we hope people keep coming back to see the progress throughout the year and throughout the years of mm-hmm. what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of hard work and it doesn't all happen overnight.
Right.
You know, the apples are just starting to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
The daffodils are just kind of getting towards fading. I think we'll have one or two more weeks left and that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's towards the end of the season, like you were saying. And then
yeah.
Lilac Festival begins next door.
Right.
And at Fort Cross, and we might be putting in some lilacs, but you can't take away from what they've been doing for years there,
oh,
too.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
So we just have so many seasons in Julian,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the things that makes it so special. The same thing that makes San Diego special for not having the seasons and
right.
being perfect every single day.
Yeah.
Kind of encourages people, especially
sure.
that have experienced it, to sneak
mm-hmm.
away and get to Julian and
yeah.
experience the rain, the snow, mm-hmm. even the wind. It's just a different experience, yeah. and it's something to really be treasured.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Good for you. So let's elaborate a little bit about what you talked about for the year.
Yeah.
So daffodils, and for those listening, I know that the marketing so far has said that it's going to go through May.
It's supposed to go through the end of April, and that's what we thought we'd be getting. Mm-hmm. However, we've had such unseasonably warm winter and spring that mm-hmm. it's really, really kickstarted the year for a few things. Uh-huh. And it's going to be hard to keep the daffodils going till the end of then.
I think
we are hoping to still be open because we have a lot of other things to
share.
I mean, we even have hammocks set up in the trees that people like to swing on and swings and off the oak trees and little gnome villages and the hay ride. Uh-huh. And the animals don't go away. They're there every day being cute.
Yeah.
So we have I don't know, like maybe a 5-week-old goat we named Ollie and maybe a 3-week-old lamb that we named, Lamb Chop. It wasn't my choice, but it
well,
definitely
was cartoon,
settled
on. Well, the cartoon, or the little puppet character, Lamb Chop. Yeah, exactly. There'll be a certain element to remember Lamb Chop.
Absolutely, and they're just so cute and such a great experience.
Yeah.
And little Ollie, the baby goat, is getting more and more personable with every day and with every experience with a gentle and caring guest and with us, of course. That she's getting to the point where she's just almost snuggling people when they come in.
And that's great.
That's something to really see.
Yeah, for sure.
They're just so sweet, you know. And to see, we have a couple of retired pack donkeys, mini donkeys that are out in the pasture, and I think she's only 3 years old, but a cow that thinks she's a dog.
I remember that cow when it was a calf.
Yeah.
And just the cutest darn thing.
She's still adorable. Yeah. I didn't have as much experience with cows as some people might, and I was a little bit wary, and I still have to be wary because she snuggles so hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, she wants to get all face to face, and I never knew how long a cow's tongue could be, and she just wants to lick me with it, or, you know, just be sweet, and it's a little much sometimes, but it's really adorable. It's something to be seen. So we have some treats, and we sell some animal treats that people get to feed, especially the goats. They're so gentle, you know.
So the cool thing, what you're saying to me with that, is kind of goes back to the same thing with the daffodils and not picking them off the side of the road. When you're coming up to Julian, there are so many cows on your left and on your right. So, and obviously people are driving and yada yada. It's not necessarily safe to pull over and let the kids get out of the car. So if you get excited about the cows while you're coming up to Julian, you can get up close and personal with the cow at Julian Farm and Orchard.
Absolutely.
So.
You get to see her out in the pasture enjoying, you know, the best a cow can have kind of in our minds at least.
Yeah.
We hope we're doing the best to her.
Yeah.
And we really try to bring some of that what I look at as the basic or even extended Julian experience to people and welcome them and have a welcoming place with picnic tables and picnic spots that they can come and enjoy the day rather than just have a quick in and out experience. So we love it when people stay around. You know, it goes, and we probably will expand some stuff. We put up a merch tent. We're slowly filling it with merchandise. And we have axe throwing, and I even got a little bristle board for the kids. I have a 2.5-year-old, and I wouldn't let him touch one of the real axes, and he was really upset about that. So we got a little kid option for that is so much fun, even maybe more fun for me even than him.
Sure.
So it's really interesting. But it's just even as far as putting up the swings, and we have an infant swing up, we have hammocks that are in the trees that get more use than almost anything. It's just nice to be able to relax and enjoy the day rather than and have a place to have a picnic than not. You know, it's hard that our park, we have a limited park space, and there's the wineries and things that are very welcoming, but there's not, and the cideries and the beer, the breweries, but it's a moderately limited family options, and especially with my 2 young children, I was really looking to create a place that was magical for them, and something that we could share that we would remember, just like you were saying, cherry picking. You want them to think back and remember us for the rest of their lives. You know.
Yeah, and those experiences definitely can happen. Before we move on, while you were talking, I remembered one more thing, because we'll move on to the other seasons. But right now, Jeremy's is providing some food when people come?
Yeah, right now, Jeremy's is doing some catering. They have a limited small menu there. Uh-huh. You know, it's been like carrot cakes and sandwiches and sodas, hot coffee and hot and cold apple ciders and things. And so it's a little bit limited. We didn't know the response we'd get. It's been pretty overwhelming and wonderful.
Yeah.
And we think it'll keep growing. You know, this is, like we were saying, the first year
anyone's
done
anything
like this. So we get a lot of comments. Like, I've lived in San Diego for X number of years, and I've never had the opportunity to visit you guys. How long have you been doing this? And the field looks like it's been there forever.
Right.
But we just planted it, and so we're just now getting to the actual meat of the operation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so stick around, people, and come back time and time again and watch them grow. Is basically
absolutely
what we say to the listeners. Yeah.
The blackberry flowers on our ever-bearing blackberries are just coming out. The strawberry, I just saw the first few blooms on the strawberry plants, and I haven't even gotten to weeding them yet. I mean, it's just amazing. So we have berries coming in June, and that's when we're going to open back up.
So berries in June, and that's raspberry and...
Raspberries, strawberries, and blackberries.
Blackberries, okay.
Yeah, all of it's moderately limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to go pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah, it's very popular. I know you guys can, from the previous owners, I know it could sell out by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or sell out on Saturday and then not have anything for
that
Sunday.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we tried to add so many other options of things
crops,
to do at the farm.
Uh-huh.
And we're adding some crops. We're putting in, we have U-picks, we have sunflowers planted that are scheduled for U-pick. We're going to be planting the pumpkins, which are a little more traditional in there.
Right.
And then several other bunching cut flowers so that people can enjoy it. Now, the part of the purpose of that is to build the soil fertility until we can add herbs and vegetables that we're hoping to do some U-pick with as well, depending on the response and the need for it.
Yeah.
I'll try to eat it all if nobody wants it, but I think that there's pretty big demand, especially when you have someone on site that can actually help you learn about it and not just have you pick it and go home with it.
There's
places that are just a little bit bigger towards the city that offer less of a personalized experience.
Sure.
And this, we really wanted to offer a welcoming, holistic experience and something that you remembered, and you remembered some of the stuff for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
In past experience, I've given tours and convinced a whole tour that we had a carrot tree in the back and that there'd be carrot picking off the tree. And it's just kind of to kick out of myself, but it's also to illustrate how little we
are
connected to our food. We get food from the store and we know it comes in a bag, and that's not really where it comes
from.
Right,
absolutely.
It all starts with the healthy soil and the soil fertility, the biology that's in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And really our food is kind of an after effect of taking care of the earth in a way, which is a very different way to look at it than a lot of farms, especially production farms, have on the whole view.
So we talked a little bit about this pre-interview, but what you just said reminded me. So you're available to answer questions for those who come, and there, I learned that there's a lot of people who have very inquisitive children, and so you know they want to know.
And sometimes we're unable to answer our kids' questions. Mm-hmm. We all know that if we have kids, that the kids ask more questions than we have answers.
Right.
And so it's really nice to take them to a place that has some of the answers. Mm-hmm. I can't say we have all of them, but I love to be available for answers, especially on agriculture. It's hard to get me to shut up about it.
Right.
Sometimes I think
we
I
only
need,
have 20 minutes for the podcast. No,
sometimes I need to wear a shirt that says, you know, if I'm talking too much, let me know. I'll go on. You know, it all starts with the rocks breaking down to soil. I mean, it's just too much sometimes.
Right.
But at the same time, it's. I find that a lot of people really appreciate the answers that they can find at our farm.
Yeah, I think our culture as a whole is changing, and that's I think where you come in with the answers of where did this come from, what's the amount of work that goes into making this happen, all that kind of stuff. So I back so that people can plan. I seem to recall from previous years that. Blackberries, they come in phases. Like, even if you sell out on a Saturday, next Saturday there's another
The more
bunch.
You pick, the more they produce a lot.
Right, okay.
If you clear the plant off, it goes ahead and puts some more on, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And the berries that we have on site are an ever-bearing variety, so they do have a tendency to not drop everything in one round.
Mm-hmm.
Industrial agriculture focuses more on harvesting at once.
Sure, sure.
Whereas traditional agriculture focuses more on the length of the season you can have.
Right.
Planting different varieties of apples, so there's always an apple ready.
Right.
Which our season, apples are so popular, our season, our apples go pretty quickly. But We really try to focus on having something throughout the year, and we even want to extend those seasons that we have, and hopefully be open from early spring to the end of fall.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge with Julian's temperamental winters.
Sure,
springs,
you never know what you're
going
to get. Weather's like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
I mean, we just, in the end of February, I think it was, we had 6 to 8 inches of snow at the farm.
Right.
Daffodils were already out of the ground. It scared me so bad I couldn't sleep.
It's so funny you say that, because honestly, and I don't know if you'll believe me when I say this because it sounds like really Robin, but I thought of you
Yeah.
Immediately when it was snowing, I'm like, oh no. Yeah. Well, but I they mean, always.
Not just me, but all the daffodils we have. But it always surprises me when you, and that's why they're the first flower out in the spring, mm-hmm. is they really wear that snow like a tattoo. They don't mind it. They like it.
Yeah.
We've been having unseasonably warm weather, which is setting us, making our season end a little earlier than expected. But they really want to be about 50 degrees, it seems, mm-hmm. or cooler. And the 70 degrees might be nice for me, my short sleeves, and working out on the farm. But the daffodils don't exactly enjoy it 100%. Right. So that snow, like a blanket of cool for them, really helped us. I wouldn't have minded a couple more, mm-hmm. not to mention how much fun me and the kids had rolling around in
sure,
it, making my son's first snow angel and thing. It's just magical, you know. Yeah. So we're looking into a ways to try to open the farm for snow days because we like to welcome people there. We want people to be on site.
That's a big deal, though. Yeah. So if that comes about, make sure you let
me know. We're gonna try.
That's logistically
complicated. Yeah, it's complicated having people on site all of a sudden at the drop of a hat when the snow actually hits is really a challenge. Having facilities, bathrooms, I mean, drinks, I mean, things that people take for granted in a way, on site, so that it's not just an absolute circus.
Pandemonium. You know,
pandemonium, and that's kind of what. Yeah. It's lovely. We all move to Julian after a wonderful experience like that, or after several or years of wonderful experiences like that. If we didn't grow up here, we fell in love with it through these things that happen, and we want to make sure that we encourage people to fall in love with Julian the same way.
That's so great. Not a snow girl myself. When are the snow flowers? When are the sunflowers expected to be
I'm hoping it begins towards the end of June. Okay. I'd like to say beginning of June. It's tough. We had an 18-degree night and a 20-degree night shortly after that snow. Mm-hmm. And so those sedums back quite a bit. I've been replanting, but they're sunflowers, like the name. They really like the warm weather.
Right, sure, sure.
Traditionally a fall crop down on the coast. They cheat because there's never a frost, so they can plant earlier.
Sure.
So I already have them in the ground. They're already sprouting. You can see pictures of them on our Facebook page, the little tiny sprouts. But they're not growing at like mad yet. They're kind of waiting until it warms up.
Right. That's what I meant to ask. So like if they're, and I think that's great if they're going to come out in June, because in all reality, Josh, I can imagine from a business perspective, if all your stuff was ready at once, then all your stuff is done at once. And like you've already said several times throughout the conversation, it's your goal to prolong seasons, and or when one is done, another one follows right after. So that's really great.
And we're planning. It's a little difficult because you really have to plan, and we want to build on Julian, not change it, really.
Sure.
You know, so we want to build on what people already have experienced or kind of expect. We have wild sunflowers that grow along the road. People call them daisies, and they're in the same plant family, but they're not quite the same thing.
Right, you can't eat the middle of a daisy.
Exactly, and sunflowers are completely edible from the roots all the way up to the top. You can even steam an unopened sunflower head like an artichoke heart and have something that's a little bit unique. And the petals are great in salads. It's amazing how many flowers you can actually throw into a salad to brighten it up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't add too much flavor, but it sure adds a lot of enjoyment.
It does. The experience. I've eaten flowers from Jeremy's, so yeah, totally know what you mean. So we've got knowing that this is going to end in April, and then after that is berries. That
we start in June. Berries, probably strawberries, look to be about the first thing that'll go. Maybe a very limited selection of blackberries. It'll go, and maybe a limited raspberries. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, you just have to. It's agriculture.
It's farming,
that's
so you
it.
Have to be prepared for the unexpected and for failure. Even.
Right,
and so. Then we have, we're going to have other cut flowers that we have yet to put in because they're so frost sensitive. But then we're going to roll over into apples and pumpkins. Mm-hmm. Our hayride's going to go pretty much year round.
Right.
We're looking to do farm tours. We'd love to have groups up, like Girl Scout troops and schools and things like that if they're interested in visiting the farm. And it's truly an educational experience, even for on the weekends for families. And for, you know, couples or people come in with friends, and they leave learning so much more with so much more information than they showed up with almost every time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I was looking the other day when I was at Wynola Pizza, now Heroes, out the window, and it looks like the daffodils are, and correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, directional northwest, it looks like the daffodils are partially where the pumpkins used to be. Is that true?
Well, the pumpkin fields you have traditionally moved around due to a rotation type system.
Got it.
When you're doing especially a traditional field of pumpkins, you really need to let it lay what they call fallow for a while and then recharge and things.
Got it.
I'm hoping to do some rotation on the crops a little bit more and some interplanting of different things so we can get away from rotating quite as much.
Sure.
But it's always good to grow different things for different years in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in a place that pumpkins were grown before.
So I'm not crazy.
No, good. Not at all. You definitely saw some out there at some point.
Yeah.
And the sunflower field is also an area that might have been used a few years ago for pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
But those might be used again. Mm-hmm. You know, the daffodils will be in the ground for at least 4 years, but we'll have to lift them and separate them and probably move them to another location at that time.
Mm-hmm. In 4 years.
In about 4 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Depends on the bulbs multiply, and so the 50,000 next year turn into something bigger.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, it almost is an exponential growth on that one. So we should have tremendous amounts of daffodils next year and the year after.
Great.
I spent more time putting compost in the ground than bulbs, and that's an amazing thing to say, because we spent so much energy and time on the bulbs. But the compost is as important for the farm, for the carbon sequestration, for our regenerative goals as putting the daffodils in.
Yeah, so, that's super interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Dang it. I had a question. Regenerative, I lost it.
Well, we try to be as sustainable as we can.
Right.
We try not to let any organic material leave the farm. We have a huge compost pile.
That was my question, because you were talking about composting. So you guys compost there?
Yes. I mean, to be a sustainable, even think of a sustainable fashion, you really need to compost anything you can.
Yeah.
Some things need to be burned for various reasons, usually due to infections or fire blight or things like that.
Mm.
But then there's a ton of stuff, including the animal waste that
right, because if they don't eat meat, their poop is usable.
And especially if you compost it for a long time and let it really degrade into soil, and so you need a big area with a lot of commitment to it in a way, and then you really have to kind of know what you're doing on it. You can't just do it willy-nilly, but in a lot of places will actually have a manure dumpster. They put their manure in, they send it off somewhere else, and hopefully it gets composted. I can't guarantee that,
right, sure.
But I know that it will at our place. And I mean, that's a big commitment, you know, that takes a lot of time.
I have a little rolling composter, and you know, the tumbler one, and things didn't break down as fast as I wanted, so it's frustrating with a little tumbler. So I can imagine with a huge one.
It's complicated. Yeah. The little tumblers are a little small. I know that they have some success. Some people have good success. Yeah. I haven't been able to really pull it off. It usually turns into a mess in there, but it's because of a time situation.
Yeah.
But the whole world composts naturally by just letting things sit on the ground and no one touch it. They let the bugs and the birds and the animals kind of take care of it.
Yeah.
And bacteria, and it all turns into soil eventually. And so we kind of speed it up with our big compost piles.
Right.
But a lot of it has to do with a pile of a certain size.
Yeah.
So it has enough room to actually get hot enough to actually compost in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so having more waste like we do actually helps in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps. And that is, when we have too much, well, the worms already get to it, so it's already half a worm farm, as long as you don't turn it too often.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually we will have hedgerows and worm farming there as well. That way we'll have not only compost, but worm castings that we're making ourselves. And that's
very cool.
Really, they call it black gold, because it's so much better than anything you can buy in a bag for our farm.
Right.
It'll be what the farm is based on eventually.
Sustained on.
Yeah. Currently, we have giant compost pile and mulch piles that we bring in from off-site because we don't have enough ourselves.
Well, everything takes time.
Everything takes time.
Absolutely.
And it'll take a long time until we're fully self-sufficient, if we ever can be. It's just a really complicated process.
Sure, sure.
And because we're expanding operations, we have expanded needs, of course.
Expanded needs,
and
yeah,
so
absolutely.
We have big... And you don't see some orchards and some farms do have big giant compost piles, but it's a big investment in time, energy, and in resources.
I understand that, but because of my little tumbler, but I tried, really what I wanted to do was get the stuff that from my kitchen that would go in the trash, get it in there, you know, so it's like you save the eggshells, and, you know, and then you have to rip the boxes apart because they have to be small.
Man,
and,
it's such, they really ask you to do a lot of work for those little ones, and it's amazing how little soil you get out in the end.
Yeah, I've had one successful season. I got a wheelbarrow, but I don't have a garden or anything, so I live in the desert, and I'm busy and yada yada, but I did get a full wheelbarrow out once, and I was like, woohoo!
Yeah, it's so rewarding. Yeah. It really is. Even on any scale, whether it's tiny or huge, it's really rewarding to create your own soil. Luckily, I have enough organic material to pump into the pile that we're going to end up with quite a bit coming out.
Good for you.
And so it'll be really great. And once we're at the point where we're using our, I mean, that's really, I hate to say it, but that's really the start of the farming, mm-hmm. is when you're actually recycling everything and turning it all into a resource that you're using.
Bringing it back to the earth, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really the goal. I mean, you have to be sustainable in your actions and your resources, your finances. Yeah. Everything has to be sustainable or you can't sustain the farm. You'll have to keep bringing things in.
Yeah.
And a bag of fertilizer pellets is an option a lot of people use, you know, mm-hmm. but it's just something that I don't feel as comfortable with.
Sure.
I really want that complex micronutrient pile that I don't even think we fully understand yet, mm-hmm. to be able to give. That's where you get the depth of flavor, the sweetness, the depth of nutrition in your food that is sometimes, I don't know, I guess I'd say I suspect it's lacking in a lot of the food we get mm-hmm. in the store.
Because everything's so fast farm now. Like, it's just get it out to the public and
quick and not quick and easy, but it's quick and cost efficient.
Quicker and easier.
Yeah, and then we're all looking for beautiful stuff at the store, mm-hmm. and not necessarily the most tasty or nutrient dense. Mm-hmm. It'd be different if every fruit pile had a nutrient profile certification on it rather mm-hmm. than just organic certification.
Sure, sure.
But that's just so complicated, and we're not nearly there as a society yet. Yeah. If we ever get there, some people aren't as interested in what I'm talking about, and then other people are even more interested than I am in it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But that's really fun to see too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so having a family now, my oldest is only 2.5 years old, and I looked at the world in a pretty sustainable fashion before, but now I look at it in even more of a sustainable fashion, and I want to make sure that there's some knowledge and something to give him. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's just the knowledge, the knowing what good food is and knowing how to do it and where to get it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So
cool.
I can't guarantee he's going to be a farmer, but we call him Future Farmers Fest.
There you go.
It's really fun.
That's great. So basically, now until the end of fall, we're hoping pretty consistently that there'll be something available at Julian Farm and Orchard.
Yes, we are closing down for May. There's quite a few things we're going to get done, and we'll slow down this year for May. I'm hoping to extend our season out next year with some other plantings, but there is a little break there, and then we open back up in June, and we should be going all the way through the end of October, through the pumpkin patch, which is absolutely amazing,
right,
and through the pumpkin patch and the end of, or towards the end of the berries and things, and so that's really our busiest season is towards the fall, but we're really trying to get this spring project snowballing, and I think being the first year, it was very successful, and I can't see the people that enjoyed us this year not coming back next year.
Absolutely, make it a tradition for sure.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah,
and to tell all their friends,
all their friends,
and their families, and make sure that everyone comes up
and spread the word that there is a place to you pick. Please do not pick them from the side of the road.
Yeah, let everyone. You're enjoying them when you drive by. Let everyone enjoy them when you drive by. Those are done with love by
volunteers and
the kids and
children
and people that have started the whole movement of daffodils. We're kind of piggybacking on that, but we really encourage people to come to our place. We're going to expand the varieties available next year. We won 13 ribbons at the Daffodil Show this year with our daffodils, and we're extremely excited about that. And I wouldn't mind, we didn't enter all the categories. I wouldn't mind entering a few more and putting our daffodils
just
in the
ring. Sweep the show, Farmer
Well,
Josh.
I don't want to say that no one else needs a ribbon, but that's, you know, that it would be nice to get a couple.
Also, that daffodil show really honors everybody that
entered.
It's amazing. It's so fantastic.
When you go in, there's so many moments in my life I think changed my life, and I say they changed my life. Maybe they change it in a small way.
Sure.
But entering the town hall during the daffodil show, it's like, when people come for the first time, they stop in the door and block passage for a minute because they just can't believe that daffodils aren't just yellow or aren't just trumpets or that there's so much variety and there's so much enthusiasm behind daffodils in Julian. And that's one of the things that's, it's almost out of love that a local will stop and shake their fist at you and be like, don't pick those on the side of the road.
Exactly.
Because they drive that road every single day and enjoy the flowers that are being taken home. Yeah. And so it's better to leave those and go to a place that's encouraging you to pick them. And, is wanting you to be there and do exactly what you want to do.
Right.
You know, which is something you can share rather than do kind of with your head down or in early morning hours or something silly. You know, you can come there and get your bucket and your scissors and come and pick your daffodils to take home. Mm-hmm. You can learn about what varieties, what the best time to pick them is, and how to care for them and things. Stuff that I wish that was shared with me when I first experienced Julian. Now we're really trying to make that a more common thing for people to really gain the knowledge and the flowers to take home.
Yeah, and the memory to take home.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make sure in the show notes there's a lot of information to your social media. Okay. You guys have Instagram, right?
We do Instagram, and we have a great Facebook page. My wife and the owners kind of run that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
she gets nap locked with the babies and does great postings. Right, so she uses a lot of my pictures, and she asks me questions if she needs clarification. But sure. She's amazingly knowledgeable in farming as well.
And she's also an amazing human being.
Oh, I have to agree.
She's wonderful, that girl.
And so we try to make sure to converse with people, answer questions when we are able, especially in email or on our social media. Mm-hmm. And so we try to share things rather than present things in a way.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, totally get that. Yeah. I like the way you said that. So for those of you listening, we'll get all the links to social media. They have a great website, which is, it's really friendly. It's a happy website. So we'll put links to that too.
You get to meet all the animals and things on there.
Right.
Sheep, the donkeys, the goat, the goats, the cow, the chickens, you know, and who knows what else we'll end up with. I say farmer old Rasmussen had a farm. That's what we start singing at my house sometimes.
My son wakes
up in the morning saying, Percy cow, and check eggs. And it just makes me tear up.
You know? That's fantastic. Thanks so much for coming.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, in a misty morning that it's not exactly perfect on the farm, so this was a wonderful experience.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. And again, check the show notes, and we'll get you all the links you want. And come up to Julian and check out the You Pick Daffodils. Thanks so much, Josh.
Thank you.